Praise the Lord. I thank Pastor Tim and Church for giving me this opportunity to come to you again. I'm so excited to see you again. God bless you. Praise God. So I had been here almost, I was here about 6-7 months back, I think. And I really experienced a wonderful presence of the Lord because all of you were really, you know, having a great love towards God. You know, when we come together with a group of people who have heart for the Lord, that makes something different. Today, I know you are already prepared to reach out and bring souls to the kingdom of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the pastor has a great passion to reach different cultural groups, different religious groups. And that's a symptom, that's a real sign of the love of God in his life. And may God bless him in abundance. Father God, we thank you and praise you for giving this opportunity. Lord, help me to teach the people whatever you want them to know, O God. Help me to speak out under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We give you all glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, Mormons, you have seen a lot of young men, you know, in pairs, walking around the street, sometimes knocking the door with a very charismatic face. And I come to know about them maybe in 2011 when I landed in Canada. So I have seen a lot of youngsters walking around the street, and I witnessed one day one Norman guy, you know, asked somebody to kneel down on the street, and he was laying hands on him and praying. So first, I was not aware of much. When I was in Bible college in India, I learned about Mormonism because I studied world religions there. But I never met some people like that there. But I was always marveled at them, amazed by their fervency, passion to reach out people. And I haven't seen some of the Christian people who are knocking my door and talking about Jesus or something. But I always get knocks from Mormons and Jehovah Witness. Praise God. And they are knocking. Though they are in wrong, they are believing not the real God, or they are in wrong path, they have some zeal in their heart to reach out the community to build up their own kingdom. Praise God. So I may start with my slides. And before that, I want to start with, Mormonism. So the Church of Latter-day Saints is not a Christian church, but a cult. That's our theme. You know, we are learning about cults. So Mormonism is a cult. It's a deception, actually. You know, it is a deception. So before that, I want to read the Bible verse, Galatians chapter 1, 6 to 9. I am ashamed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul was so much, was in anguish or pain in his heart by seeing the believers of Galatian church getting deserted away from the real gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So Galatians, you know, the Church of Galatia was founded by Paul. He was really having a great heart for the church, and He was so astonished by seeing the believers driven away by different teachings. Even in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, it is written like this. I will read. It is not in the slide, but I want to read that verse for you. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And in chapter 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? Or witchcraft you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. So Paul was really talking very strong words to Galatians. Who has done witchcraft against you so that you are drifting away from the truth? And in 5th chapter he said, it is for freedom you are set free. Why are you getting entangled in slavery again? So God is expecting something great from our life. We need to be in the truth. We need to be led by the truth. We need to be filled with the truth in our life. Praise the Lord. There is no more compromise in our life. God is not expecting any kind of compromise from our side to the untrue things. So that's why it is written like that. And it is totally a deception. The slide number 3, it is a deception. Deception doesn't mean 100% is wrong. Deception may be 90% correct and 10% wrong. Sometimes 99% correct and 1% wrong. This 1% or 10% or 25%, take the whole thing into different direction. You will end up in different destiny. For example, if you draw a line with 1 degree tilt, after 100 kilometers, you will be in different place. Maybe after 500 kilometers, you'll be in another place. You may think in the beginning, it's just slight. You won't be recognized after driving 10 kilometers or 5 kilometers. But after 500 kilometers, you will know that you will never reach the destiny that you set in your heart. You will never. The same thing deception stands for. Devil will not come and say 100% wrong. He will come and tell 90% in line with what the Bible says. And 10% he will say that will take you completely away from the word of God. From the place where you have to reach. And your call will be, you will not be fulfilled by yourself. So only later we will know that we are far away from the real relationship with God. Many times people are getting into traps. So devil is so cunning. He is very crooked. He comes with the sheepskin, hiding his wolf nature. He's so deceptive. Matthew chapter 7, how do we know? Prophets proven by their fruits of life. Many prophets claim that they have seen God, they spoke to angels, they have seen visions. Even they excel in many things. Mormon, Joseph Smith is the founder, I will come to that. He wrote a book at the age of 25. The Book of Mormons. That is a Bible for the Mormons. Is it an excellent thing to write a book at the age of 25? It's a great thing, right? It's not easy. He attracted millions of people before his death at the age of 39. He excelled in many things. And he claimed a lot of things. I will come to that point. So when you see the smartness of people who claim that they have seen God, and by seeing their charisma of attracting people, we may forced to believe maybe they are right. But they've been driven by the evil spirits in order to deceive the true believers. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Matthew chapter 7, 16 and 17. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. Prophets proven by their fruits of life. So, when you study a religion, my opinion is always study the life of the founder first. Study the life of the founder. You need to know what kind of fruit they are producing or they produced. Don't look at the large number of people following a particular person. Christianity has the largest number, and the second largest number belongs to Islam, third largest number belongs to Hinduism, and so on. Many people could influence the society and generations. Devil is always trying to steal what belongs to God. Why devil is bringing out new religions? Just with one purpose, to steal what belongs to God. He is always in having the desire to become like God. Devil will not come and ask you to worship him directly, but he will seduce your mind to worship something else other than God. They may use same terminology. They may use same words, but does not need it. It is it as the real God, a real terminology mentioned in the Bible. So devil is so cunning. He wants to steal what belongs to God. The worship, honor, all everything that belongs to God alone. He's always after stealing, you know. Devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. First, he wants to steal your worship that is supposed to be given to God. If that was done, then you are under his control. When you start worshiping something other than God, that means you already become a slave and being under the influence of the devil. That is very important. So why devil is deceiving people? Just to steal what belongs to God. Worship, honoring, all kind of things. Whatever belongs to God, only God. That is the thing devil is looking for. So that's why he is inventing religions. Religions make people convinced that they have to worship the deity mentioned in that particular religion. So it passed from generation to generation through families, through institutions. But a political party can be vanished after 100 years or even 10 years or 5 years. But a religion, it will continue from generation to generations. So devil know he can steal this year, next year, this generation, the coming generation, and the generations after generations. If he invents a new religion, if he could get somebody,
So devil gets someone always with fruits not in line with the word of God. The devil cannot use Jesus Christ. Cannot. Devil cannot use somebody imitating Christ to establish a religion. Because he wants someone who should follow his own nature, the devil's nature. So I want to bring your attention to the life of Joseph Smith. He is born in 1805 and died in 1844 at the age of 39. So I don't want to tell all details about him. He said that he saw many visions and dreams, experienced series of visions. And that includes in 1820, during which he saw two personages who eventually described as God the Father and Jesus Christ. First, in 1820, he said he got a visitation from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And in 1823, he got another visitation from an angel named Moroni. And he directed him to a buried book of golden plates in 1820. And in 1823. And in 1827, he wrote the book of Mormon, and it is translated in English 1830. So it is completed in 1830, Book of Mormons. You know, he was saying that he told the followers that he got visitation from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Two persons came. And first he didn't say who was them. Later he said Jesus and Father God came and visited him. That was in 1820. In 1823 he said an angel, Moroni, came and visited and guided him for a hidden book, buried book of golden plates. And you know what happened? Then he said, after writing, he has handed over the golden book to the angel. So nobody can ask for the evidence. He said, I already handed over to the angel. So he wrote the book of Book of Mormons. They believe the Book of Mormons is the perfect book ever written in this world. So I will come to that point later. So he believed in plural marriages, plural gods, and also in politics. He married 34 women. Emma was his first wife, and the wives from the age of 14. And he believed that through the plural marriage, he can become a celestial person. It is an evident, it is inevitable. I mean, it is an essential thing you need to have. So we'll come to that point. So when you look at his life, and he could know that he is not a real prophet according to the biblical standards. He was jailed at Carthage prison for treason charge while he was in prison, killed by mob attack. Even he printed currency illegally. He formed an army. He did a lot of things. So he killed people, he formed an army, he wanted to challenge even the United States of America. He wanted to become the president of United States of America. Even he tried to compete to become the president of U.S. But while he was in prison, he was arrested and he was killed. When you study a prophet's life, when many don't look at them by how many people are following, but when you study them, and you can know who is the real prophet, who is following the real standard of the Bible. We need to be very careful about that. So we need to look at the fruit of the prophet. So I used to tell everyone who study the religion this thing, because you need to first, you need to study the character of the prophet first. Then, so they, he, in the Book of Mormon and other books, you know, he mentioned about lot of doctrines. So I want to share with some of them, and in the light of the gospel, I mean, light of Christian doctrines. First, he believed in plural gods. You know, he not like Christians. In the Christianity, we believe that one God is a spirit who is personal, eternal, infinite creator of all that exists. He is the only God and necessary for all other things to exist. He exists externally, eternally, as a Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know our God is one God, exists as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we believe in it. But for them, God is not one. He believes in plural God. For him, God, and call it Heavenly Father, is an exalted man with physical body of flesh and bone. He's an exalted man. Once he was man, exalted as God, with a physical body of flesh and bone. LDS founder Joseph Smith said, if the veil were rent today and the great God who holds this world in its orbit and who upholds all worlds and all things by his power, who make it himself visible, I say, if you were to see him today, you would see him like a man in form. If God reveal him or tear off the veil between me and God, you could see God as a man. I have come across some people who believes this theology when I do the outreach. And they believe God is a man. He was a man, became a God. And you can also become God. And also they deny Trinity. Trinity is denied with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are believing they are three separate entities. Not like what we believe. And Father has body and bone. And also Jesus, the Son also has the same physical flesh and bones. But Holy Spirit does not have. Holy Spirit is considered as a personality or personage. Just a personality of God. And for God, they believe one deity named Elohim, who was created and brought up in another planet, and was married, had children. He married a heavenly mother and got a boy called Jehovah. Later, Jehovah was adopted as Messiah, and came to the earth as Jesus Christ. And all, you know, they have a weird thinking of God. And they believe there are many gods, there are many planets, and so on. So Elohim was in another planet. Maybe might have come to this planet, Earth, and found a heavenly mother, had a physical relationship, and got Jehovah, a boy. And later, Jehovah was adopted as Messiah. And he came down, incarnated into this world as Jesus Christ. Is it in the line of Bible? No. It's totally against. Their concept of God is entirely different. The terms may look same. That's very important. And doctrine of Jesus Christ, what they say about Jesus. In Christian view, Jesus Christ was the virgin-born God incarnate who existed in all time with Father and Holy Spirit in the eternal Trinity. That is what we believe. Jesus exists in eternity along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. As a man, when he came down to this earth, he possessed two natures, human and divine. And Jesus lived sinless life and willingly died on the cross as a sacrifice for the sin of all humanity. That is what we believe, Christianity. That is not in the slide. So but why I'm saying that part, just to make it clear how much difference or how they are differed from us. In Mormonism, it is not like that. Jesus was the spiritual firstborn son of God in the pre-existence. Firstborn son of God. Every person who was ever born on earth was our spirit brother or sister in heaven. The first spirit born in our heavenly parents was Jesus Christ. They are believing Jesus as a spiritual firstborn son of God. And everyone who comes to this earth, you know, as a spirit before. That I will clear it later. And the first spirit born of our heavenly parents was Jesus Christ. So there is a heavenly father and heavenly mother. That first they mention as God the Father and the heavenly mother. And they had a first birth, first child, called Jesus Christ, firstborn. But they contradict each other. Even see, Elohim and Heavenly Mother, when they married, they got Jehovah. That's what they said. Jehovah himself became a Messiah and became Jesus. Then he incarnated as Jesus. The same thing they are explaining in a different way. And they believe that Jesus was with God, the Father, but they are having, he is a physical firstborn of God the Father and Mother. That's why they say he is the begotten physically. That means he is also only begotten physical offspring of God by procreation on earth. Jesus is the only person on earth to be born of a mortal mother and an immortal father. Jesus is the only person born into this world by a mortal mother having a physical relationship with an immortal father. That means God had sexual relationship with Mary and produced physically. That's what they believe. So you can imagine how much we are differed. I mean, we are fall apart. Actually, Mormons and Christianity has nothing to do common. They are believing God can have physical relationship with a woman in this earth and having a physical boy. And also, Jesus' atonement, death and resurrection provides immortality for all people, regardless of their faith. So everyone is having an access to have resurrection because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Christ thus overcame physical death. Because of his atonement, every bone in the earth will be resurrected. That is means they will be in eternity. Whether in, I will come to that point. Everyone, because of the atonement or Jesus' death and resurrection, everyone given access to the atonement, I mean access to the eternity. This condition they call is immortality. No death at all in the future. Or in the after death experience, yeah. All people who ever lived with will be resurrected, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, both the wicked and the righteous. That's what the Book of Mormon teaches. So atonement, it is made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everyone has got the access to the eternity. Even, you know, Bible says, you know, everyone will be, even before the death of Jesus Christ, you know, everyone will be in the eternity. But they are just not revealing the real fact about the purpose of Jesus died on the cross. So, doctrine, scripture, and authority, they have some scriptures, and we will look at the Bible, you know, Christian view first. We believe the Bible is the unique, revealed, and inspired word of God. It is the sole authority for faith and practice for Christians. We have Bible, both Old and New Testament, as our authority. But they have four authority books. LDF founder, four standard works as authentic or authoritative. These include Bible also. This, they also say that they believe in Bible, they follow Bible, but I don't think that whether they read or write, not. And Muslims, they believe, they also believe in Bible, Torah and Injil. But if you give the New Testament, they won't read. One day I went to, I usually does that thing. I handed over a gospel to a Muslim guy. He said, no, I don't want. Then I said, you said that you believe in Injil. This is Injil. Why don't you take it? It was very hard for him to take. They say that they believe the New Testament, but they don't read it. The same way, Mormons don't read Bible. They may read to ask you certain questions. But they say they believe in King James Version of the Bible. That is a wrong thing. And main book is the Book of Mormon. And Smith declared that this book, the most correct of any book on earth, most correct, and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding its precepts than by any other book. If you obey the principle precepts of this, commandments of the book, then you can go to heaven, you can abide with God. That's all that was his claims. And another authority book is The Doctrine and Covenant. It is a collection of modern revelations. And another one is The Pearl of the Great Price. It's the fourth book believed to be inspired. It clarifies doctrines and teachings that were lost from the Bible and gives added information concerning the creation of earth. It is lost. They say that some of the information about creation are lost in the Bible. So they got some James Joseph Smith receive some revelations from God regarding the creation. And that's what they believe, the pearl of the great price. And Doctrine of Covenant, collection of modern revelations. And the Book of Mormons, you know, the book translated from the golden book. Books with the golden plates. And they simply believe, they simply say that they believe in King James Version of the Bible. And the church president is regarded as a prophet, revelator, translator, or somebody as a mediator for them. And Doctrine of Humanity, every person born on earth was our spiritual brother or sister in heaven, because we have a heavenly father and mother. So everyone is connected as spiritual sister and brother. For example, if then we marry somebody else, in the heavenly view, we are marrying a sister or brother in their concept. You know, because everyone is a part of the heavenly family. That's what they believe. But in history, you know, I will come to that point. When God created man, God, you know, in history, in the Christian view, human beings are created in God's image, meaning they have personal qualities similar to God's. Every person is a unique, precious being of dignity and worth. So God, when God created us, you know, in the Bible, He created us in the image of God and given the authority to rule and dominate the whole earth. So we are created in the image of God. And in the Mormonism, we are pre-existent spiritual offerings of Heavenly Father and Mother. All men and women are literally the sons and daughters of the deity. Man as a spirit was begotten and born of heavenly parents and reared to maturity in the eternal mansions of Father prior to coming upon the earth in a temporal physical body. So we were born in heaven for spiritual father and mother, and we were brought up there in heavenly mansions, and we are sent to this world to learn, to get equipped certain things, to fulfill a mission here. And we have to go back to the heaven to join our Heavenly Father and Mother. That's what they think, they believe. They are born basically good and are gods in embryo. They are born basically good and God in embryo. They are God in embryo. That is little God. That's what they believe. A commonly quoted Mormon aphorism is like this. As man is, God once was. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. God was a man, He became God. Now we are man, we are human, we will become like God or become God. That's what they believe. See, devil wanted to become like God, right? He was deceived, or he was at fault, and he is deceiving everyone to become like God. And first he applied in the life of Eve. Because Adam loved his wife so much, he followed the path of Eve. Certain times, love is also a trap in our life. We should not love too much certain times. What happened, Adam loved you maximum, and happened to become sad, you know. He started hard working, sweating, everything. So doctrine of sin, I want to come to doctrine of sin. So in Christianity, we believe human beings have chosen to sin against God. Human beings have chosen, beings, you know, man chose to commit sin. It is not God's choice. Adam and Eve, they chose to commit sin, right? So even in our own life, Bible in Romans chapter 3:23 says, there is no one righteous. All sin and come short of the glory of God. But for them, it is not like that. People sin by disobedience to God's law. Adam's fall, a part of Heavenly Father's plan. They believe it was the plan of God that man should commit sin. They believe like that. The Bible does not say that it is the plan of God for Adam and Eve to commit sin. No. But they believe it is the plan of God to commit sin. Or plan of God for Adam's fall. We are not for our transgression. We never should have known good and evil and the joy of our redemption, the eternal life which God giveth unto all obedient. So in order to know the good and bad and joy of redemption, we should have committed sin. That's what they believe. Or Adam should have done the wrong thing in order to experience the joy of redemption and have the knowledge of good and bad. That's what they believe. So regarding the salvation, what we believe, salvation is released from the guilt and power of sin through God's gift of grace. It is provided through Christ's atonement and received by the personal faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. So when we believe in Jesus and accept that He is our Savior and Lord, and we ask forgiveness, and that help us to have the release of the guilt in our life. And also, the grace will give us power to overpower the power of sin. But for them, it is a different story. Jesus' atonement provided immortality for all people. That part only they believe. Just to have an immortality, to go to heaven, or they don't use the word heaven actually. There is eternity. Eternity. Exaltation, Godhead is available only to Mormons through obedience to LDS teachings, faith, baptism, endowments, celestial marriage, and tithing. But for them, salvation means become a God. For us, the salvation is not that one. Forgiveness of sin and getting overcome the sin by the power of the Holy Spirit or the grace, and we become a part of God's family, or in the eternity we will be in the heaven and He will be sharing rewards according to the way we lived. But for them, it is not salvation. For them, the salvation is not just having a personal relationship with Christ and getting into the heaven, have eternal life of joy and peace in the heavenly places. No, in the heaven. For them, to become God, that is their salvation. To become God. So for it to reach eternity, Jesus has done something for them. So the work of Jesus has made people to have access to the eternity. But the salvation, the real sense, is to become God for them. Because they were the spirit being in the heaven, but they were not God that time. They came down to this earth and learned certain things, and because of the work of Jesus, they got the access back to heaven, but they become God only when they follow Mormonism, or the teachings of LDS. So what we need to do for that? Teachings, faith, baptism, endowments, celestial marriage, and tithing. So they have different teachings. They need to believe every part of the Mormon book, the Book of Mormons and other authoritative books. And they have to do baptism. Our baptism and their baptism is different. Their baptisms are proxy baptisms. And also two things are there. When they baptize, they believe their sins are forgiven. Repentance comes after the baptism, not they just believe this baptism cleanses them all sins, or cleanses sins from them. Later they have to repent. For another proxy baptism is there. Somebody is baptizing for someone who is already dead. So they can go to the higher glorious states. I was listening to one person's testimony and said, she took baptism at least for 10 people who are already dead. Celestial marriage. Endowments, they have their own commitments in the church service, the church and missions. So many other things are there. They are endowed by the priest of the church. They are called as temple certain times. And celestial marriage, for the couples, they believe their marriages are eternal. They are calling sealing also. They come together and they marry, and that is forever and ever, for the eternity. And also sealing is another meaning. As a family, they come together under the, just coming there, under the leadership of a priest, and as a whole family, husband, wife, and kids together, and they wear a specific garment, undergarments, having some rituals under the ordinance of the priest, and they believe that as a family they will be a family in the heaven. So they are going together, sealing that cannot be broken. And in marriage, celestial marriage done, and if you want, you can cancel after divorce. That has to be done by a priest. No, the president of the Mormons. Only the president can do that. Not just an ordinary priest can do that. So if somebody said that, yeah, we are married, we need to have celestial marriage. So the priest will come, okay, you are husband and wife. They do a special ceremony for the celestial marriage. And after a few years, they divorce, for example, legally. And they have to ask the priest to do the cancellation of the celestial marriage. But that cannot be done by a simple priest. It can be done only by the president of that LDS. So many things are there, so which are not in line with the Word of God, the true Word of God. And even in marriage, We don't have marriage here, right? No, in heaven. I will come back to that point. And in doctrine of salvation, and they will live eternally in the presence of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. That's what they believe. They will become gods. That's salvation. They will have their righteous family members with them and will be able to have spirit children also. In heaven, they can have spirit children also. So many people are worried about heaven, in Christian heaven, because they don't have family in heaven. I was listening to one conversation in the YouTube. One Christian became a Muslim. Someone was asking, why you became a Muslim? I became a Muslim last week. Why? There is no sex in heaven, Christian heaven. But in Islam, I don't want to tell all details. So he's a young man, 27 years old. He said, what life in heaven? So I thought of becoming a Muslim. So in this, Mormonism also having a provision of family life in heaven. I was wondering why this young man, there are more than 80,000 young men in the mission field, more than almost 100,000. They are in late teens, like 18 and 19 years old. When you go to church, it is very difficult to see people, children of the age of 15 to 20 or 15 to 25. I don't know where they are missing. But in the Mormon church, you could see a lot of young men because they have an expectation, maybe in heaven, having a family there. I don't know. So I used to watch a lot of churches, you know. I see the age group of 15 to 25 is missing in many churches. But devil playing a trick by attracting and saying, if you come after me, I will send you a heaven where you can have a lot of things as you expect. So salvation. Okay. And baptism for the dead provide post-mortem salvation for non-Mormons by immersion performed by a living person for one who is dead. This ordinance is performed in temples. So if you are a Mormon, for example, you have beloved people who are not Mormons, they may be in struggling somewhere, then what you can do? You just take baptism for them here so that they will be promoted. They will have everything that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have. When they become God, you know what happened? They will have everything that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have. What? All power, glory, dominion and knowledge. In heaven, we are going to worship and having dance there, experiencing the presence of God. And our joy is always refreshing, not boring. I believe in heaven is not the same joy, but always refreshing. Every moment we feel as if it is new. So these people are thinking with their own mind, if it is same, just go and clap their hands and singing songs and just walking on the streets of gold and living in a big mansion and all those things. Get bored, you know. For there, they added something else. Package, they have given different package so that people can be attracted there. But our joy in heaven is always refreshing. Always, every moment. Praise the Lord. Only when you go to heaven, you will be grieved. You will have a sorrow. Lord, I missed many years in the earth. I should have come here earlier than before. Earlier than this time. If you are one day here, you are missing one day in heaven. How many of you want to miss days in heaven and stay here on this earth with a lot of pain and struggle? If you want to go today, you just pray to God, Lord, I want to come to heaven today. I don't want to miss days in heaven. The more you live, the less you live in heaven. Praise the Lord. And every day is a great day in our life. And doctrine of life after death. What we believe, eternal life in heaven with God for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And we will be with God that is in heaven. And there is an eternal separation that we call hell. Eternally separated from the presence of God. That is called hell for the unsaved people. So we have heaven and hell for them. They have three levels of glory. Exaltation in the celestial kingdom for faithful moments, where people may become gods or angels. That is the highest level of the glorious level. There shall be gods. That's what they believe. Then the second level called terrestrial kingdom of righteous non-Mormons. They may be righteous people, but they are non-Mormons. These are they who are honorable men of the earth, who were blinded by the craftiness of men. These are they who receive his glory, but not his faithfulness. So they are good people. They may be Christian, they may be Hindus, they may be Muslims, that's what they're thinking. They are righteous people, so there is a space for them. And the celestial kingdom is for wicked and ungodly. But that is not hell. These are who are liars, sorcerers, adulterers, who suffer the wrath of God on earth, and also those who are unbelievers. From there, you know, or terrestrial kingdom, the unbelievers there. Those who are in these two places can be given promotion by baptism of somebody, proxy baptisms. In hell is there, it is for the devil, Satan, and his angels. That's what they believe. Praise God. Then the doctrine of church. For them. So what is our stand? Christians congregate together in local bodies and along denominational lines, sharing distinctive doctrinal and celestial, ecclesial concepts. There is no organization or denomination that can claim exclusive designation as the one true church. The universal church consists of all redeemed in Jesus Christ in all of the ages. So we believe in Jesus, and those who belong to Jesus are part of church. So we cannot say this local church is the only church, you know. There are many people who are born again and attending different churches. But for them, LDS is the only true church. That is the only true church. When Joseph Smith had that vision, and he asked God in which denomination he can attend or go and join. Then he said, God said, every denomination is corrupted. Joseph Smith claimed Jesus Christ told him to join none of the existing denominations because all because they were all wrong, that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those prophecies were all corrupt. And Mormons claims that LDS possess the divine authority of the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood are restored by God to Joseph Smith. So he asked Jesus to get some permission to join a denomination, but Jesus said, according to him, don't go and join any organization, because denomination, all are corrupt and all the creeds are abomination to him. So what happened? Later he said that he got the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood. Aaronic is a low-level priesthood, and Melchizedek priesthood is high-rank priesthood. So that's all. That's the theological part of Mormons. And how many minutes I have? 10, 15 minutes? 10, 15? So our question is how to reach Mormons. What we learn, a Mormon is good, but we need to reach Mormons. They stumble at your question about God. You can ask question about God, you know. They believe that they believe in the Bible, King James Version. And you can take their attention to the King James Version. Whenever I talk to Jehovah's Witness, and they claim they also believe in King James Version, then I take from the King James Version, I ask, do you believe this? Then they do not, then they just try to avoid me. So you can ask questions or about God. Bible clearly teaches that God is not a man. Praise the Lord. God is not a man. Very clearly teaches that God is not man. 1 Samuel 15:29, Job 9:32. God is spirit. John 4:24. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so that he can lie. Very clearly, Bible teaches that God is not a man. He is a spirit. So what happens with the Mormon's teaching? God is a man with the flesh and blood. He was a created being, born and brought up by heavenly parents in different planet. That's the best question you can ask. And you can ask about Elohim and a heavenly father and heavenly mother, you know, got a boy called Jehovah. And Jehovah became Messiah and came to earth. So you can ask about it. And also about marriage in heaven. Marriage in heaven, Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, Luke chapter 20, 34 to 36, Mark chapter 12, 22, 25. If you read that passage, you can see very clearly teaches about there is no marriage in heaven. I will read that passage for you. Matthew chapter 22. They also believe that, you know, plural marriage is inevitable for to become celestial beings. That's why Joseph Smith married 34 wives. Take it. That same day, Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders, who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question: "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on brother's name. Well, suppose there were 7 brothers, the oldest one married and then died without children. So his brother married the widow. But the second brother also died, and the third brother married her. This continued with all 7 of them. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all 7 were married to her." Jesus replied, Your mistake is that you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead arise, they will neither marry nor given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like angels in heaven. So there is no marriage in heaven. They will be like angels. So this passage, this reference, is a great help for us. We need to believe that there is no marriage, because Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven. These are the questions that usually they think, you know, we can ask about them. So deity, for example, you can ask about the deity of Jesus or whatever. So Mormonism, they believe God as a man with a physical body of flesh and bone. But our Bible does not go in line with what the Mormons believe. Yeah. So I think some more questions, some other things. And also, who is God in Christ? So you can ask about questions about Jesus, divinity, authority. Actually, for them, it is not a difficult thing to believe everyone is a God. You know, like Hinduism, everyone is God. God is in everything. So for Mormons, yeah, everyone can become a God. So that's what they believe. But still, they don't believe that Jesus and God the Father equal. They cannot believe that. There may be some differences. So if you have any doubt, any questions, so, and also salvation, regarding salvation, it is a free gift. For Mormons, it is not free gift. They believe that, you know, they have to believe in Jesus for the atonement or into the entry of to the eternity. But in order to become like God or to become a God, they have to do good works. So many things. So nobody will become good enough. So that's why they are doing everything. They have in the Mormon church or Mormon temple, everyone is burdened with a lot of things. They have nothing. They are working like anything for the church. From morning to night, they are convinced that it is not enough. Grace is not enough. You have to do, you have to do, you have to do. The atonement of Jesus is not enough. So salvation is achieved through the works. That's what they believe. So that is a very important thing. So if you can bring out, you can say that salvation is a free gift. Jesus. There is no need of a mediator other than risen Jesus Christ. And for them, their priests and everyone are mediators. They also always rely on mediators. They also believe that they need a prophet, a present prophet, not a died prophet, a prophet at present, in order to mediate for them. So you can ask about the mediator of Jesus Christ. You know, that the Bible says very clearly, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, Galatians 3:20. There is only one mediator, Jesus Christ. So many questions you can ask them. And when they say they need a mediator, always. They are always relying on somebody. Always. Every day. But we have a great relationship with Christ. So we can explain a little bit more, but the time is gone now. Yeah. Could you understand what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Come on, there's a question in the room. Sylvia.
Yes. You said that we believe in the King James Version of the Bible. So do they teach this New Testament in their Mormon church? Do they teach the Book of Mormon?
Actually, they teach the Book of Mormon. They believe the Book of Mormon is the perfect book. And all of the books are corrupted. So even they, in a way, they believe that Mormons believe that Bible is also corrupted. And they just, in order to, it is like a deception. They just say that they believe in the Bible, but in fact, they are not following it. Yeah, in the Holy Spirit, they say they believe in the Holy Spirit, but when we study their teachings and all, they don't give much importance to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is considered as a personage or a personality. Holy Spirit does not much. They have, for them, it is Father and Son. The Holy Spirit they mention, but we don't see any role of the Holy Spirit in their teaching. Dichotomy, they almost believe in dichotomy, not in Trinity. And they believe not in Trinity, they believe in three gods. For them, there are many more gods in different planets. For them, it's not a difficult thing to believe that there are many gods. Yeah. Could I clear your question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that is true. Because the evil spirit is working behind it. Devil is at work. Yeah, he is manipulating. Yeah, he is giving his understanding to these certain people, So he got somebody, so he made use of him. And one thing is, if you want to be used by the Holy Spirit, there are certain criteria for it. But if you want to be used by the devil, you can do anything evil. No restriction. And you can be used more and more according to his standard. The more you do evil, you can be used by the devil more. That's why many cult leaders are practicing polygamy, a lot of bad things. They're being controlled by the devil. They don't have any guilt of it. But if you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, even a small thing make you guilt and convince, right, of your sins.
Any other questions?
Even the baptism, proxy baptism, is also an attractive thing for the believers in Mormons, because when we come to the Lord, we are always worried about our beloved people who never come to the Lord, right? But for them, don't worry, you can take a proxy baptism and they can be promoted to the glory, So it is a tactics of the devil in order to gain his access.
Can we thank JP for being here tonight?